Glory to God. Well, we're still teaching on the subject dealing with tongues, which is really a key to the door to the supernatural. I've learned with myself over the years, my limitations, even though the Lord has given me a lot of revelation over the years on things. But you know, it's when you think about it in all total, it's like you're so limited, really. You just, and being over, and especially as a, you know, I was praying for a specific individual over the last couple nights. I would pray for this one individual, and it's just like from what my mentality and what I know, I just would feel so inadequate. I would just like the Lord, I just, you know, I don't know enough about what's happening, you know, because like we see things. We see things happen. Many times we don't know causes. We pray about what we see. And the cause, and I just know this, there's a cause here. And what me focusing prayer on what's happened is a waste of time. It's a waste. We waste a lot of time in those areas because we pray all about what we see. And what we see many times is not what's causing things to happen. And especially, man, I want this person's life blessed. They need help. And I said, Lord, I got to get outside of me on this thing. Because I don't know. I don't understand what's causing. I just know within myself there's something happening. And I know this. That even others that know about the thing, they don't know either. There's something and going on. And you know, I don't have to know specifically about what it is. I just want to get this thing fixed. I want to see it fixed. I want to see this person delivered. And that's the most important thing. And this is why I was praying in other tongues. I thank God for that ability to step outside of me. step outside of there. We're a great educational society. We're a great... And I ain't knocking it. So thank God. I mean, the technologies and the things that we've learned and we've done and in this earth is incredible and all that kind of stuff. But still, we find ourselves limited all the time. We find ourselves in problems. No matter all the technology we have, all the wisdom we have, the people are a mess. Isn't that interesting? You know, I'm talking in the church world. People are just, you know, it's like, hold it. God gave us supernatural. Let's get back over, you know. No matter what I've learned, what I've had, education or whatever I have, I need God. My God, do I need Him. And I just think more and more lately, as I get older, yeah, thank God you get some wisdom, they say, when you get older. You finally figure out, I've done run out of me by now. I've come to the end of bed, and God, I need your help. And I found out, when you go over into this area and this, you know, I can rest more. I was only trying to just, you know, I got to accomplish this, got to accomplish that. You know, I need God working in me. That's what I need. And you get over the thing, and you're not You know, it's one thing is most time people in praying and doing things, they carry the burden of the problem. And I don't do that anymore. We cast our care on Him. This is where faith enters in. And this is why, see, you and I can step into areas of the supernatural. We lay that care on God and we're praying things out. We can count on God is going to work these things and God's going to do something for us. We're not twisting His arm to try to get Him to do good. He don't do nothing else but that. That's all He does. And so praise God. And we just want to cooperate with Him. Hallelujah. He's not trying to wear us out. I remember Brother Hagin used to say in Pentecostal groups, they used to always say this. He said when he was coming up, he said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. He said, you don't need to do either. You don't need to wear out. And I've watched it. I've known minister friends who've died prematurely. I mean, they just wore themselves out, work. And they were doing all this stuff. And they said for Jesus, but a lot of it wasn't what Jesus wanted. Jesus ain't wearing you out. He's not doing that. One thing I've learned about Him, He's given me life. And we want to walk and live in that. We're going to look at terminologies today in the Bible. This is very important because when we said about this is there's a difference between being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. There's these two different things. But we need to understand it has to be explainable in Scripture. It must be explainable in Scripture. And say, where are people messing up? Where are they messing up? Well, number one is this, and it's not to criticize anybody. We've all in this thing. We hear things taught and said so much over time that it gets into us. And so we just walk on and repeating certain things. And where I'm glad I found it out early on some of these things. It's like dealing with the end times. I was just a young Christian and I was looking in the Bible some things at the end, reading that were about the end times. I wasn't studying it. I was just reading through scriptures of things that I was just learning the Bible, just, you know, what's in this thing. And I was reading down through things that Jesus made mention of and different things like that. And then, at that time when I came into the kingdom, there was all this Jesus coming back. And, you know, he's coming back. Yep, Jesus. Yeah, you know, we left in 1990, if you didn't know. But Jesus was coming back. You know, we weren't going to be here in the next couple of years, you know, when I got saved. We were going to be gone. And these guys, they called them all. These were end time preachers. They were prophetic and all this kind of stuff. And I was listening to different ones of them. And they would use sayings that are said in the church by many, many Christians. And a lot of them, I mean, even good ministers. They're not bad people. They're good ministers. They've taught good. And they make statements. I think, well, they're over here on this side saying we don't go through the tribulation. And they're using tribulation scriptures talking about Jesus coming back, which was actually talking about Jesus' return to the earth to set up his kingdom. And they were using terminologies, but they got them all mixed together. And I'm sitting here as a baby Christian and thinking, what on earth are these people talking about? Because if they're right, they're wrong on the fact we're not going through the tribulation. We would be if they're right what they're saying over here. This scriptures are about Jesus coming back. And I listened back and forth. I realized these terminologies used, they got through all things out here and saying all this thing. People think it had meaning. And really, it was opposed to Scripture. I'm thinking, hold it. There's got to be a systematic way of looking at this thing. There's got to be a thing down here. Well, I didn't know enough that I was going to set up the system. I didn't know it. But I said to this Lord, I'm not listening to anybody else teaching on it right now on the end times. I said, I've listened and I said, these are considered the big boys and the big ministries have them in. And I said, man, these guys are saying stuff that's off the wall. I said, I know this about them. They're good people. But they were speaking more tradition that was said than Scripture actually dictated. That's why you have to go to the Bible and look through things and make sure it's saying those. Well, it's just like dealing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are Scriptures that we look at that deal with being born again. And there are Scriptures that have dealing with being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to learn to divide them with people, because when people have questions, is this so? I mean, when you here's one thing, it's very difficult when you have people have been sitting in churches for many years and they've been sitting there and and tongues is of the devil, and they're saying those things. You better know something than just say, "Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit for God." You're more trouble to them than any good. You need to be able to explain to them things. This is the whole thing. Is what happens is, number one, they never have teaching. If tongues is of the devil, why don't they have teaching in the church that teaches scripturally how tongues is of the devil? Well, they don't. And then we come over to the Pentecostal people, or spirit-filled or charismatic, or whatever you call it, and they say, oh yeah, tongues is for today. And they couldn't prove it by scriptures either. they do. It's like, hold it. I listen to Brother Hagin's, a lot of his teachings over and over again. While I was going out to the Branson and back, I did a lot of listening over some of his stuff. I did listening to some different teaching. And one of the things that I always find, his emphasis is this. He always says, make sure that what you're doing is based on the Word. He said, faith comes by hearing the Word. You make sure that the Scripture's saying what you talk about. We could eliminate a lot of bad teaching and a lot of things that have led people astray by good people if they would have actually stopped and took the time to look into Scripture. See, I don't care. I could say something. You need to know it's from Scripture. You need to know Scripture tells you this. And this is one of the things that I want to do. I learned this from a Bible teaching, and I had a minister whose name was Cooper Beatty. Cooper Beatty was instructor at Rhema. In fact, he taught teaching courses when I was there. That's what he taught. Cooper Beatty had about as many years of ministry as I had life, I think. he was excellent. I really like him. He's a very detailed line upon line teacher. I liked it because, I mean, he would go through from one thing to the next and the next. But I found this out. A lot of students had a hard time with it. They like a Sunday message. They'll come in and tell me something this week, tell me something else next week, tell me something. That's what they like. And they'd have a hard time. To me, I loved it. I thought, this guy explains it. I can understand. I need somebody to explain something to me. I'm not that smart. But I want to get smarter. I want to stay dumb. You know, and he was very good at that. One of the things is he had a saying he used to tell us, about explaining. In other words, the terminology you're going to use, explain that terminology. Because, see, people don't know. You need to understand this. I can walk into churches. I've been in Spirit-filled churches, and they're illiterates. I've been to them. They don't know terminology from the Bible. They don't know what it means. They talk about righteousness. They don't even know what it means. We walk around and make statements of things and we say stuff. Like you get people who have been born again for years and you talk about the salvation. Well, it's just the forgiveness of sin. And that's it. They're ignorant. They're illiterate when it comes to understanding what they got. And see, why? Because it's not explained to them. God set teachers in the church. Teachers are explainers. That's what they do. They explain. Preachers, they proclaim. But you can't live off of preachers. And a lot of people want that. They want to live off a preacher. You know, make it exciting. You know, because it's not exciting to get detailed in this stuff. It's not as exciting enough. You know, I want to have excitement. I'm going to tell you, I want to be able to live this stuff. I want to have the glory that's in the Bible in my life. That's what I want. And you won't get that doing it some other way. It takes time sitting down and listening to teaching, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, there's any manifestations that God can do, He can do through teaching. Because faith comes with the Word, so you can believe God for anything if you're taught it in the Word. Most people want a preacher in front giving it to them instead of learning the Word, and they can do it, get it for themselves anytime they want it. See, I learned that way. I learned the way that I didn't wait for somebody else to do something for me, somebody good spiritual. I found out if I got in a little spiritual, I could get a hold of things myself. I said, man, that's much more beneficial, you know. I remember going to Kenneth Copeland meetings, and anyhow, they would have healing things, but in the daytime, Gloria would have her teaching on healing. I will guarantee you, she's more successful than he was in many ways, because what she could get, you'd sit and listen to her. You get healing. You don't have to wait for a special service or to have some kind of thing. You don't have to have none of that. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Those kind of services are not for the Pentecostal Spirit-filled people. They're not for them. It's for the world. We're supposed to develop and grow and build and not get it on our own. And that's what she would do. She would just line upon line. And you know what? If you went to another one of their conferences and you went in and she's teaching the same stuff, she didn't have a new message. Wow, there wasn't a new one for her. Over and over. Did you notice in worship in the throne of God? Read in the Bible where it talks about heavenly worship. It's repetitive over and over the same thing. Our society does not like that. Churches in America are not repetitive. And that's one of our great failures. Well, I heard that. If you ever say that I heard that message before, understand this. You're a baby Christian. See, babies have to be given something new all the time. You've got to get them another shiny thing. I love repetitive teaching. I don't mind sitting down and sitting through this hearing the same one over. If you guys would understand how many times I have listened to this, you'd probably say I'm insane. But I'll tell you what, I'm happy, let me alone. I hear it over and over and over, and it just, you know, it's, if something is wonderful and it is life, if the word is, how could it be hard to hear again? Or how could, hallelujah, it couldn't be. So we'll look at some terminologies here. It's number one, when we talk about Scripture, the things that we're saying, we want to look at some terminologies dealing, first of all, with being born again. We want to look at these because we're talking, especially in the areas considering the new birth. I'm going to just go through Scripture. What Scripture says, not my opinion, Scripture says. In Romans, the 8th chapter, very familiar Scriptures in here and that. About us as Christians, we want to look. But it says this in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You did not, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. In other words, we're going to look into these areas in terminology. One of the things is being led by the Spirit. And I just want to say this going in as we look at this, is you want to be led by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit will always lead you in line with the Word, is what He does. I can tell you this, I mean, and I don't care what anybody else says about it. The Holy Spirit leading all the time, does it to me through Scripture. I mean, I'm not walking around reading the Bible all day. But I'm going to tell you what, if God wants to say something to me, He'll also always bring something. There's something that starts coming up in me, something about a certain Scripture. And as soon as I yield myself to that Scripture, all of a sudden I'll start getting a revelation of what He wants to bring to me. So it's by the Spirit. We need to know this is the Word of God. You don't want to be a legalist. You don't listen to the Spirit. You need both. In fact, Smith Wigglesworth said this before he went home to be with the Lord. Right before he went to be home to be with the Lord, like when the healing revivals and things started. But he made this thing. He said there's going to be a last day move of God. It's going to be different from the ones before. He said it's going to be the Word and the Spirit. In other words, there's going to be a move of God that... And get this, because if it's not, you'll never see a fullness of the move. We've had limited moves of God. We think they were great, but they've all been limited. They've all been limited. They've emphasized one area or something. This is going to be a move of the Word in the Spirit. A people are rising up that are turning around, know how to be led by the Spirit and know the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, ain't a greater combination. Ain't a greater combination than to have that. There's nothing more wonderful than to have that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to run. Nobody's ever done that. Thank God. There are people who've walked in those areas. I've got to sit under and listen to teaching of some of these people over the years and have done it. But it isn't the norm. Most people are copiers. They copy what somebody else got. And they turn around and copy it. But they don't have the life themselves. And this is what you want to have. You want to have the life yourself. You want to have the wealth in the life yourself. Hallelujah. And praise God. That's where God's going. Now, we want to look at this because what does the Bible in dealing with the new birth experience, what does it say? Now, we want to look at John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, because we're going to differentiate. We're going to start there. We're going to complete it today. But what is it talking about here in John, the first chapter, verse 12? Verse 12 says this, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, we want to look at this because what is it? As many as receive Him. Who is the Him? It's Christ. As many as receive Jesus Christ. What do they? As many as receive Him, they became the child of God. So our experts, what is the subject that John is talking about? Is he talking about salvation? Or is he talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is he talking about? This is salvation. He's talking about salvation. As many as receive that you become a child of God. And you will find this in terminologies. You need to understand You know, it's one of the things they used to teach at Rhema when I went there. They used to say that is one of the things when you're reading things and you're going to study them. First of all, who are they talking to? I want to get out. You know, it always cracks me up. People are always trying to Christians are always trying to get the world to follow the Bible. The Bible's not written to them. It's written to save people. It's written to save folks. It's written to us. It's written to me. Well, if they're making statements in there, who are they talking about? See, many times they jumble everybody together. And like, no. You find out who they're speaking to. Which group? See, many times, I've found this especially, many times there's things, statements, the Bible speaks of Israel and the Christians to carry it over to the church and talk about you trying to use it from the church. I ain't talking about church. There's things Jesus said in the Gospels. Ain't got a thing to do with the church. Church don't know it because they just jumble everything together. And this is why you have to study to show yourself approved. And there is only one great teacher, and he's the Holy Ghost. And if you don't learn to listen to him in the teaching and learn to listen to people who know how to listen to him, you're going to be a dummy. That's just going to, you're going to throw all kinds of things together in the Bible ain't talking about. You got to learn to, we have to learn. This is where good, look, we want to be wise and we want to do all these things, but I don't know what you, see, I need the Holy Ghost to learn. You know, I've taught myself already. Have you ever done that? Later on, when, oh my God, when you found out what's going on. See, I studied. Yeah, I studied without the Holy Ghost. I figured it out. But, that's part of growing up. We do those things. We do them. I don't do as much of that anymore. I've learned about, I've learned this sometimes in subjects I'd like to go into, but something inside tells me, not now. Stay away from that. You have to learn to listen. You have to learn to listen because what happens, you go by your will and you override your spirit. And I'm going to tell you something you probably never thought of. It's a sin. It's a sin to disobey your conscience. And my conscience is saying, don't do that. Don't go over to that. You go over here to this. Okay, I'll do that. See, I've disobeyed. I pushed into things. I pushed into stuff. Now, I did it. I wasn't trying to be trouble. I wasn't trying to miss it. I was younger and stupid. I'll tell you what. I won't get away with today with what stuff I got done in the past. It's going to cost. It'll cost me. Christians haven't learned that. Some Christians ain't ever got out of the playpen. God's very merciful and kind, but he ain't stupid. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, he must be graceful and kind because I'm still here. So he's good. He didn't let the devil carry me off. Like I tried to get him to. Hallelujah. But we want to know because Jesus is making a statement here and we know what he's talking about. When he made the statements in verse 13, he said, who were born not of blood nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in other words, he's telling us, this is going to coincide with later on what he talks about when he gets to meet Nicodemus. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. This is something that he's talking about. This is why you have to learn the terminology of the Bible. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. See, Scripture ties together. It's not some little thing out here and a little thing out there. So here you are. We get the opening in John, and John shows us this thing. This is about something that's going to happen. It don't have to do with your flesh. That's what born again was. In other words, it's not being, my flesh ain't going to get changed. Understand this. God's not going to do nothing about your flesh. Let me just tell you this straight out. That's your job. That's your job. He don't do nothing about bringing your flesh under. He gives us all the information and the grace, ability to bring the flesh under. But that's our job. Hallelujah. He was kind enough to do the major work. Because God is born again. Hallelujah. That's the man. You got the best foundation in the world. There ain't nothing greater. Hallelujah. Than being born again. And then he's given you the word of God so you can have faith. He's putting the great teacher in you. And so he wants you to live out of that inner man. This is what it is, starting. But we're talking about here the new birth. So this terminology as we go along. Now we want to look at another one in, go back in 1 John, which is the letters of the church, 1 John. John says something there in the 5th chapter we want to look at. And he speaks concerning the term with dealing eternal life. And we want to read about that. This is eternal life. So we know when we look in the scriptures, what is the context of what we're looking at, the subject that's being said or John is talking about? We see here in the opening, John is talking about the salvation of man in John. And in 1 John, the 5th chapter, in verse 11, he says this, "And this is the testimony that God has given us." This is the testimony. It's eternal life. In other words, this is what they testify to that God sent. Jesus Christ was sent so man could have eternal life. Now, eternal life just doesn't mean living forever, because every human being is going to live forever. Now, not from a physical standpoint, but everybody's going to live forever. See, I've listened to people and they write songs and stuff and they talk about, oh, living forever and living forever. I'm sorry, everybody lives forever. Eternal life is to have the life and nature of God, and that's what you got with the new birth. This is new birth stuff talking about here. You have eternal life. Now he says, what? And this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Then he says, verse 13, "And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, the context of this, talking about eternal life, these are the ones that believe on Christ. We received eternal life. It's received here in the earth, not one day when you leave. People go, well, I hear this all the time. See, good ministers and everything, and they say that, well, the person died, they went on to their eternal life. No, not if they had it here. I got eternal life now. I'm alive to God now. I don't get alive to God. I'm going to leave, whether Jesus comes or I leave first, I'm going because I have eternal life. And I'm going to heaven because of what I got. This is salvation talk. This is not baptism of the Holy Ghost talk. This is salvation talk. So when you read in the Bible, you get used to this as what are they talking about or what are they saying? And so these are the terminologies. And we need to understand these because one of the really problems is when people don't understand these kinds of talk, they have a tendency to not really know what they are. See, I find that people get saved and they don't even know these scriptures. They don't know that they have eternal life. They're trying to walk in things that they're looking. One day I'm going to get to something. They love the Lord, and then you know here they are. I'm a musician. I'm this that for Jesus, and I sing, and then they write songs. They're really cheesy. Why? Because it's baby writing. Now they mean well, but what they're saying and doing is not bringing faith, because it's not in line with the Word of God. They don't bring faith. Watch what you walk, especially, you know, singing. Watch what you walk around and sing all the time. Singing is a powerful thing. Start getting music in your head and sometimes hard to get out. You better make sure that what's going on there is putting something in good into your heart and not craziness. You know, and this is why understanding the Word. You know, I know sometimes people, well, you know, God understands and He loves them. Sure, He loves them, but it doesn't make it right. You know, we're always trying to compromise God to please people. Say, no. Now, another area dealing with the subject in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. We're just pulling out, say, common things or stuff that are said. We want to look at this. There is the cult, and this is one of the areas that people, which deals with the area of salvation, that people have gone to and hooked on today, is during the areas receiving forgiveness of sin. And which is absolutely true. We do receive forgiveness of sin. It's one of the things we get. It's not the only thing we get, thank God. Forgiveness of sin. But people sort of hang on to it. When you put these things together, realize. But in Acts 26 chapter, in verse 17, says this, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. This is the Lord talking to the Apostle Paul. And he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among whom are sanctified by faith in Him. Now, in other words, forgiveness of sin, he's talking about here, he's talking about salvation. In other words, in salvation, there's forgiveness of sin. It's, some of the church has turned and made the forgiveness of sin the salvation. And it's not, he's talking here about that. What are they, if you're going to receive this forgiveness of sin, receiving forgiveness of sin is a person. Jesus Christ. That's who it is. If you receive Christ, He is the forgiveness of sin. In other words, how is He? He's the guy that took man's sin, died, was rose from the dead, took His blood into the holies of holies and made an eternal redemption. It's Him. You know, people go, well, my sins were, you know, I was saved by my putting the sins in the cross. No, you weren't. They're really limited. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, in fact, Paul wrote about that. If Christ hasn't been risen, you know, we're dead in our sins. And we're finished. It always amazes me the church amplifies the insignificant. And what happens, it takes the life and power. It's not scriptural, therefore it can't bring faith in God when we're believing things said that are not scriptural. The Holy Spirit can't bring faith to you. Get your thinking right about this thing. So when you read it here and you read about forgiveness of sin, when you read about those things in Scripture, always think concerning salvation and Jesus Christ and His working, because that's what it's talking about. It's not just, you know, a cliche or things that we say, just we're trying to get a person to get saved and we're just throwing this stuff out there. People need to understand. We get saved by through Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness of sin and no other. There is forgiveness of sin and no other. It doesn't matter. Man can go all his ways and do all that he wants. But it's through Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look over in John, back to the Gospel of John in the third chapter, where Jesus ended up talking with Nicodemus. He's going to discuss with him. And we're just going to look at just this one here now in that. But I want you to see this, but when you look through scriptures, things that are said deal specifically with born again. And I want you to understand this because of the fact we don't want to try to minister people the Holy Spirit and they ain't born again. You need to know this is a hugely, hugely important thing. During the charismatic renewal, you know, there's loads of people that weren't saved and they people come along and, you know, people think they're saved because, you know, I'm a member of a church, you know, I went through their catechisms and I went through all this stuff and never got saved. I mean, what is it, the Lutheran church, they do the Apostles' Creed and they stand and quote, I won't tell you, I've been around Lutherans every Sunday. They faithfully went to church every Sunday, stand up and say the Apostles' Creed, weren't born again. Man, if they just believe the things that they're saying, talk about. Why? Because that Apostles' Creed's never taught in a church. They have no faith for it. It's never taught. Yet, if somebody would teach that thing to them, the Apostles' Creed, they could get born again. See, somebody started off with having the Apostles' Creed. Whoever started it was right in their thinking. That was fortifying the salvation of the congregation. And then it became a religious thing. It's just a thing you just got up and said and get up and did. And that's when the Lutherans used to have teachers in the church and they don't now. They just have their things that go on. Things they're doing. You know, having their services. And, you know, something, let me just say this. The Lord reminded me of this and He just brought it up to me again. You know, one of the things, see, the churches today, we don't have teaching, even in spirit-filled churches like they used to have teaching. See, they used to have Sunday schools. You know what Sunday schools were? They were teaching classes. And then now you have church, you know, I'm teaching classes. That's all we have, so many dumb Christians. Whether people like it or not, Lord reminded me of it. He said, that's what happened to them. See, we specifically, people would come to teaching classes and you sat and you were taught. And see, if you were in religious junk, well, then you were taught whatever. But when it's done right, and it's done, it puts things into people and things are taught. You know, people like, you know, we see what we got is a charismatic move. Oh, you know, we're free. We're free to live in the flesh and do all kind of stuff and act like we know something when we don't. And, you know, to them, they thought, oh, my, going down, you know, you're not really, why would you use a quarterly to teach out of? Because, you know, you want to be led by the Spirit and have something new every week. No, they had systematic teaching. And their quarterlies were that you followed through on a subject. And then when all the charismatics came in, you know, my words, I went to a church and they used that and they told them, well, like, you know, that they're not as spiritual. My God, you know what? Now, I went to Bible school, and you know, they might as well used a quarterly because that's what we were doing. Following through, teaching right after the other. That's what we were doing. That's how you learn subjects. There ain't any other way to do it. It's just the way it works. But see, if somebody's producing good stuff and think, oh, that's a good thing to have. You could take a quarterly home and study it for a week. Oh my God, that awful thing had happened. Believe me, I want to just tell you, the Spirit-filled people don't have the corner on spirituality. I learned that years ago. They all thought they did. But as I went along, I realized in the systematic areas of teaching, like with teaching in Bible schools, I could say this truthfully, not trying to knock anybody. I was in Bible schools and we had people come in who were Spirit-filled. The Bible school was Spirit-filled. We taught along those lines. But we had people would come to Bible school that came out of more of a denominational churches and backgrounds and stuff. But I found this out. The hardest ones to teach, to get them to hook up, were the Spirit-filled. They're just so full of ideas, full of ways of thinking. And they all were word people. And didn't know the word. Usually the people from denominations and stuff that were more systematic about stuff. So it was easier to work with them and teach. It was easier. And so, you know, just be one of those people that, you know, I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to learn. I don't care what it is. I'm going to learn. Why? Because I need to. Now, we have these terminology here to be born of the Spirit or to be born again. And we're going to have John in the third chapter. John, and I'm going to start verse 6 here. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when we back that off and what Jesus said, where I read, you know, back there in John, the Gospel, in the first chapter, verse 13, it says, he said, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we see this same thing carried over here, dealing with the salvation of man. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit, spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So there's terminology. What's he telling me? This is terminology using for salvation. This is something man must come to, is born again. We don't use these terms much anymore. Born again, they don't talk about it. They say, you need your sins forgiven. No, you don't. You need to get born again. The reason you get sins forgiven is because you got born again. If you don't get born again, you don't get sins forgiven. You get born again. And then he goes on and says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is what? Born of the Spirit. This born of the Spirit or born again person. Terminology that's used that speaks of salvation. In other words, in its context. And, you know, this might sound really sort of simple that I'm doing through this, but if you learn these things is learn how terminology is used, when you go through Scripture, you will read, you will be able to see. Is it talking about salvation? Is it talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost? Or what is it talking? What is it doing? See, this is when people misuse terminology. Like one of Kenneth Hagin's really good friends, and Brother Hagin spoke many times of him. One of the things, you know, him and Brother Hagin didn't agree on a number of things about. But one of the things that Brother Hagin never said about, I found out that, you know, it was one of the things that Brother Hagin did. This guy come up, I mean, he's a good spirit-filled guy, operates manifestations of the Holy Ghost. God used him. I mean, and he had a good teaching on stuff. He got this idea and he said, you know, people who are not filled with the Holy Ghost are not going to go when the rapture is. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to the rapture. Well, that sounds very good, but see, this one thing, terminologies in the Bible. Well, I realized this, that something that the Lord had shown me back when I was a young Christian. When I heard, you know, that he made that statement, and a minister friend of mine jumped on board with that. Because, see, this guy was, he was a friend of Brother Hagin, so he must have been right. Well, Brother Hagin didn't agree with it. You know, there's people I've had friends, and there's a lot I don't agree with. But they don't, you know, we like people and do things, but that don't make you that person. You know, they believe certain things. Well, it's number one is I found this out. I wonder why he believed that. Well, I found out why he believed it. And he used scripture out of its context. He was reading scripture by chapters and verses. And so he took this as something that was a new subject. Subject ain't changed at all. Was talking about the end of the tribulation. And he carried it over that this is talking about the church. Let me just say this. The 10 virgin thing ain't about the church. Ain't never was and never will be. Not talking about the church at all. And if you sit down and read words, the preceding chapter is talking about going through the tribulation and all that stuff. And then it starts in the next chapter after those days and it goes into the 10 virgins. Well, if it's after the days, if it's after the tribulation. Duh. A second grader would probably figure it out now. But you get religiously brilliant, and what you pull things out of context, you miss revelation. You miss revelation. Be careful about that stuff. Wonderful things God wants to reveal to you. You know, the end times ain't scary for me. It's the Christians are scary. They're scary in their beliefs. They're scary in their ideas. With me, God, the end times ain't some scary thing. This is about our salvation, the fulfillment of our salvation. I mean, I'm going to go from a logical standpoint. I would ask that guy if I'd have lived in his day, I would like to ask him. So then if somebody died who wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't go to heaven? I will tell you what he'd answer me. Oh, yeah, they go to heaven. Oh, so when Jesus returns, they can come back and get their new body. But the person here who's not filled with the Spirit can't get theirs. They got to stay. I mean, it's just stupid. But you know what happens? It puts doubt in people. You know, I realize this. There's people, you ain't going to get them filled with the Spirit. But they're wonderful Christian people. They love the Lord. And you know, we just do what I can to be a blessing to them. But you know, they're brothers and sisters. We're born of the Spirit. We're born again. That's what makes you a Christian. Water baptism is wonderful, but it had nothing to do with you becoming a Christian. Nothing. Zero. But see, the reason I'm talking about these things, because see, I've come back from backgrounds over the years, from the time I was ever in ministry, dealing with people. Was a lady I worked with at H.B. Reese Candy Company, a Christian lady. She loved the Lord, nice lady. But she go into church here in Lebanon, and they believe that you have to be water baptized to be saved. If you ain't water baptized, you ain't saved. And so that's it. So, you know, I listened to her talk over time of this, and finally, one day I said to her, I said, do you believe in deathbed conversions? The person get saved on their deathbed and go to... She goes, oh, yeah. Well, I said, how can they go to heaven? Oh, she said, and then she said, God understands. I said, that's wonderful. But I said, I want you to do something for me. I said, take time. Go find out some scriptures and go bring it back and show it to me God understands. Because I said, you can't have any faith in that unless you've got scripture for it. You see, many Christians have lots of things they call faith, but it is not faith in God. It's because faith in God is faith in His Word. And what I have faith in, if His Word ain't saying it, ain't faith in God. Now, I know I'm the only one that ever had that trouble. Everybody else is really good at this. See, you need to... People have faith in things, but it is not God. And you have to know about that yourself. This is why so many people have trouble producing things. See, faith is what you and I use to producing. When we make our confession of faith or we're praying and asking for... People wonder, why don't my prayers get answered? I've confessed this. Why ain't it working? Are you sure where you're at and what you're saying? Is it really faith in God? Or do you have a mixture of your belief? You want to find those things out. Number one, as I started off, God was very tolerant to me on a lot of things. I look back over things and think, my God, He just treated this baby good. I mean, He did along. But as you go along, there's one thing. God has an expectancy of you to grow up. And if you ain't getting more spiritually mature as you've gone on in life, and I don't think you never retire from this. Never. There is no retirement from this. I'm in school for the rest of my life. And when I get to heaven, we'll get some more rounds of it. We're created by God to walk and be like Him. And I tell you what, if we are, we got to learn some stuff. And we understand. We're in school. And see, I find this, because you get into societies, our American society, Christians retire from Christ just like you retire from work. I walked, and now I'm supposed to sit back, and the church is supposed to pat me and pet me. No, you're supposed to be up and be the leaders. Naturally, it used to be that. I mean, people and their grandparents, you'd be leaders of families. Ain't that today? Heck, they follow the grandkids. They don't lead them. They follow them. Grandkids run the show. It's good preaching, isn't it? Really makes you excited. But see, there was a difference concerning things because as people got older, they were in an area and a level. See, as I found, just like me, as I got older and I found out, my dad lived in a level of wisdom that I didn't understand. I didn't understand. I mean, I can sit today and say this about, if there's things that I knew spiritually from Scripture, numbers of areas a lot more than him. But his wisdom over time of walking and living in life and understanding what he did walk in light with God was, he walked in a wisdom area, and he's a leader. And I got my life blessed through it. See, many people today, their offspring are not getting blessed by their lives. They walk on too low level. They're not a leader in the spirit realm. They're not a leader. It's what you want to become. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be a blessing to my offspring. I want to be a blessing to my offspring. See, we need to, and that takes part. What it means, when you step over to leadership, that means you're required more of you. See, everybody's looking around, we're going to reach a place in life, we go sit down. Now, as you grow and grow and develop, you can go further and further and further. Hallelujah. Let's do that. Let's be those people. Glory to God. Let's start in that area. As we're teaching here on this, we're looking specifically in statements we've been reading here. And I don't think I'm going to go in and start into to next week. Because what I want to do is we're going to look at statements that deal specifically with the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. What it says. That we can differentiate to people. Because they need this. People need to know. Hallelujah. Number one. Person's not filled with the Holy Ghost. Number one, I want to know if they're saved. I know if they understand salvation. And I want to fortify their salvation. They know they're saved. I want child of God. I ain't against Baptists. I ain't against some other group that is being saved. I mean, I want people to know and be understand. And so when they read scriptures, they understand these things of this is talking about this. But when you go over here and use this scripture, this is not talking about being saved. This is talking about something else. Hallelujah. It's one of the things it is, and I think it's a wisdom from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, you know, I never had a problem to ask. And he said a person didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'd say, so you have all of God you want? You don't want no more? And he said, the answer was, well, sure, I want more. Well, because they believe you have all the Holy Spirit you get. Well, if it is, Lord, when you got all you can get, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and found out I needed more. Because understand this, no matter what position we're in, we are living in a position that is a limited knowledge. And you always need more knowledge in that area to experience the blessing of those areas. The more knowledge you get, the more you can express yourself in that area and the blessings that God has for you. And so, you know, we don't arrive. Hallelujah. And I don't know. See, I love to learn. I love to listen to teaching. I don't know if I'm just weird or crazy. And I don't know. I just love to learn. I just really enjoy understanding. And as in any subject in life, the Bible is the book for me. I know. I have other books and things. I don't read a lot of everybody else's books that come out and all kind of stuff like that. I like the Bible. And I found out that reading other books, if I know the Bible well, I can actually prove whether it's a good book or not. I'll tell you, over the years, teaching the Bible schools, and sitting on the board and listening to them talking about good books that they had for the students. And I got those books out and I thought, this would make good burning material. This is spirit-filled. Say, my God, we could burn this one nice. This would get a good flame going, I'll tell you. We could set hell on fire with this thing. But see, when you know the Bible, you know, it's just like with me, other religions. People say, you know, it was a big thing. I don't know if they do it anymore, but people would go through these things about getting books and studying other religions so you can minister to the people. If you know, understand their religion, then you can minister to them. And a lot of that going on. I mean, they were doing that, and I've even heard people today, you know, that ministers are doing, they almost do a study on another religion to people and that stuff. No, and I found this out, you teach the word. That's what you do. Because I had an encounter with a Jehovah Witness. I had never, other than I had heard about them, but our church never as a kid talked about much of any of that kind of stuff. And a guy comes over and knocks on our door one day, and I'm just born again. And he walks in and he said, you know, he has a Bible, he opens his Bible, and he opens the book of Revelation. He reads a scripture out of the book of Revelation. And he said, what do you think that means? I thought it was really sort of stupid. What do you think that means? You know, walking into somebody and doing it, and I thought, right away, I mean, this guy, I thought, you know, he's got a few screws loose, you know, maybe five or six. But I thought, where was this guy coming from? Now, I don't know. I looked at the scripture and I thought, the scripture itself didn't make sense that you would use it to figure out what something said. I just, myself. Well, I said, I don't know. I said, you're here, you came here, you tell me, what does it mean? And he went into this big elaborate talk. And I said to him, I said, just a minute, let me get my Bible. Because I thought, do I have a scripture in the Bible that means what he just, I don't know. I didn't know. So I opened the Bible. I just said to him, this is what I said. I said, now, and I read down, and I saw him when they had the scripture. I read the scriptures before and down through, and I thought, what's this guy talking about? So I said to him, I said, hold it. Let's read this thing in its context. Now, see, I didn't know. The Holy Spirit was leading me. I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know enough about it at that time. But really, it was God. And I read it down through its context, and I said to him, I said, what you said, that don't mean at all. Oh, and he got mad. He really got furious. Oh, listen, I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I didn't knock on your door. I said, I didn't come into your house claiming to know something that I didn't know. I said, you did. If anybody should be mad, it ought to be me. I ought to be the bad guy. Well, you're not going to listen. And he left. I thought, wow, that was good. He left. That was my first encounter with another religion. Thank God. But you know, the thing is this, from the time I got started, and really, which really helped me, I had been listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, who was always saying, somebody says, go to the Word to see. Go to the Word to see. And I started practicing that from the beginning. I thank God because that revolutionized my life. That revolution. I never followed a man. I followed the teaching from the gift. When he left the earth, the Bible never changed. It's as powerful as it always was. Hallelujah. I want to say, I'll say this. I learned things from him so I didn't have to go through some things in life. And thank God for the people that taught us. And sometimes they've taught from hard life experiences where they have had to learn to walk with God. And I just thank God. I've had the opportunity to go through some hard things in life. I'm going to tell you, it was an opportunity. But I didn't go into it unprepared because of people who taught the Word scripturally. I could go through. I understood because of them. I ain't interested in fluff teachers. I want somebody that knows how to overcome some. You know, I'm not interested going into the army with a bunch of peacetime sergeants training you. Send the guy down that got shot at, shows me what to do. So when I get shot at, he actually knows what to do. He didn't read it in a book. We have too much read it in a book ministers. When you get the guy who has read it in the book and he knows how to apply it and work it, man, come teach it. Come teach me. Hallelujah. I want to know. Hallelujah. This is one thing. I've always looked at people that came through really hard things. What did they learn? What did they know? Because if I face hard things, I want to know what to do. I can know this. I've learned this in my Christian life. I can go through hard things. And I don't get discouraged. And I've learned over time. It isn't because I'm so wonderful. God, the Holy Ghost, sent me good teachers and sent me with it. Revealed the Word to me so I could stand. Hallelujah. And this isn't a basis just of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's understanding salvation. We don't ever knock people that are just saved. I know a lot of people that are just saved live more powerful lives than a lot of people who say they're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, you can live a darn powerful life if you really understand salvation alone. Brother Hagin said this. When you just believe in salvation. He was pastoring churches. He wasn't a young Christian man. He said when he came on among the Pentecostals, he said, I didn't know nothing about gifts of the Spirit or anything like that. He said, healing? He said, I got more people healed than they did. He said, I just learned it by faith and by the Word. He said, they didn't know how to do that. They always had to wait on the gifts of the Spirit. Here it is, a guy, he ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, getting more people healed through the Word. You know? Let's put in to anybody what we can get into. I'm going to tell you, there's ministers and people out here in churches today. They don't believe in baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they believe in divine healing. And you teach those people right, I'm going to tell you what. God can do a wonderful thing through the Word through them. If they understand about the life in the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will work with us any place we will sit down and stick the shovel in the ground. He'll work with us. Glory to God. And he works with him. You know, over the years, I've found there's areas in my life I was limiting God. I wasn't putting the shovel in the ground. I wasn't doing it. And it wasn't until I started to do that, hallelujah, he started to work. So he'll work with you where he can go. And you know, he didn't throw rocks at me at all and on any of that other. He never did it. Hallelujah. He was patient to keep teaching me. He was patient to keep doing. What a God. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just want to let you know this morning our great appreciation for an absolutely incredible, loving God. And we just want to thank you as we look at these things. Lord God, open our eyes to these things. Lord, I know that to us, we have heard much of these things and we look through them and we know them. But Lord God, Lord, you have me teaching for a purpose. Hallelujah. And because, Lord, we are entering a time and a day, Lord God, with many so in the church world, untaught, don't understand in the simplicity of your word, the power and the glory, Lord, of your salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we want to be a blessing to them. We want to be a help to them. Hallelujah. We don't want to be rock throwers at them. Glory to God. Lord, we want them to be able to see and understand. We want to, wherever we can in them, is to be able to take them higher into something. Take them higher into an area. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be people when they look and they will see that we really do have an interest in them and an interest in them going further. Hallelujah. That we're not against them, we're for them. Lord, I'm for the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm for anyone's. They're born again. I'm for them. So I want to thank you, Lord God, that you will use us. Hallelujah. Give us understanding. Hallelujah. So we can minister to people. Hallelujah. Not for our glory, not for notching our six-shooter, Lord God, but so heaven's glorified and magnified, and Jesus Christ is lifted up in the earth. And the glory of Jesus Christ gets revealed in the church, that men are drawn to the glory of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're something else. The glory of Jesus in the church. Hallelujah. And what a church we have. Hallelujah. What a head we have. Hallelujah. And we just want to say today, Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for being loving and patient with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.